Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to KPMG's podcast series on the intersection of tax and ESG, environmental, social, and governance. I'm your host, Brett Weaver, head of KPMG's U.S. tax ESG practice and tax lead for our firm's impact offerings, KPMG Impact. It's great to have you back with us again today. We've got a really good program. I think you'll enjoy it. Our impact solutions from KPMG Hansen and empower your ESG initiatives. We assist companies to unlock new value as they build a sustainable future. In this new mini series of podcasts focusing on tax ESG, my guests and I will explore the role of tax in a company's overall ESG journey. Following up on our previous podcast on tax governance and controls, in today's podcast, we'll discover tax transparency, what it means, the perspective of standard setters, and how companies are dealing with this aspect of tax ESG. Joining me today are my guests, Søren Dalby, who is CEO of KPMG's Danish tax member firm and one of our global KPMG impact leaders. Also with me today is John Durohanessian from our Washington National Tax Practice and National Tax ESG Reporting Lead. So welcome, Søren and John. It's great to have you with us today.
It's great to be with you. Thank you very much, Brett.
Thanks, Brett. Great to be here.
Awesome. Well, guys, let's just jump right into the meat of this thing. It seems like it's difficult to spend a day in our working lives without hearing about transparency in some fashion. That seems to be a pretty significant part of sustainable business practices these days. And we certainly hear about it in the context of tax. So maybe, Søren, I'll start with you. We hear a lot about tax transparency. Could you maybe just give us a little bit of background? I mean, what does it mean, tax transparency, and why does it matter?
Definitely, I can do that, Brett. And I think the whole looking at tax transparency as such is about disclosing to the public how you approach your global tax affairs as a multinational. And transparency means, on your website, it's in your public annual financial statements, it's in your sustainability report, it's in a separate tax transparency report. Basically, you can disclose your approach to tax anywhere you want. There's no designated way to do it, but it is disclosing it into the public. And what we would normally look at is like a qualitative disclosure and a quantitative disclosure, where the qualitative part is very much about your approach to tax, while the quantitative part is very much showing how much taxes you are actually paying. So sometimes we are talking about the talk, the walk, and the proof. So the talk is really disclosing your policy. The walk is, taking an active stance on progress reporting. How are you actually doing in terms of living up to your policy? And then the proof, showing what does it mean when we look at our tax payments. Looking at the qualitative part, the talk, that could be about the principles that you apply when you conduct your tax affairs. It could be your approach to tax planning. It could be your approach to tax risk appetite, your views on use of tax incentives, on use of tax havens. And I think very much around taking a stance on some of the hot topics in today's global tax environment. Then the quantitative part, the proof, so to speak, is about your tax footprint, meaning the tax payments that you make in the countries where your group operates. This could be corporate taxes, but it could also be broader and include much more taxes, such as taxes that you are collecting on behalf, could be payroll taxes and VAT. So tax transparency is basically disclosing to the public how you approach your tax affairs.
I think that's really helpful the way you walk through that. Because I think many times as I speak with companies, we talk about tax transparency, that they immediately kind of jump to the disclosure of tax payments. And it's much broader than that, right? There's this whole qualitative aspect around the approach to tax you just described. That's a pretty critical point of overall tax transparency. So I think that's really good perspective.
Absolutely, Brett. And I think I often get the question, is transparency the end, or is it rather a means to an end? And from my perspective, transparency is something that has been introduced to reinstate trust in the global tax environment. And hence, you know, full transparency is not an end in itself, because trust is the end. And hopefully we will succeed in improving the trust in the global tax environment. Some of the largest investors in the world, especially the largest pension funds from the Netherlands, from Norway, Canada, and Denmark, they are really under pressure from their members to take a stance on the transparency path. One example, I think, is a presenter we had at a conference from a Danish pension fund. And when asked if this specific fund would decide whether to invest in a business just based on their tax profile in the future, he replied that they had already made those decisions. So it is happening right now.
Yeah, thanks, Soren. I mean, you know, clearly that's one of the reasons we wanted you on our podcast today. You know, in many ways, sitting in, you know, the Danish firm, you're at the epicenter of a lot of what's happening in terms of, you know, the large funds and other stakeholders that are weighing heavily into this issue of tax transparency. That's probably a good segue for me to turn to you, JD, you know, with you, you know, focus here in the U.S. market. You know, what's your perspective in terms of the way, you know, U.S. multinationals are perceiving what appears to be the, at least in the U.S., the beginning of this wave of tax transparency? I mean, how are U.S. companies viewing it?
So I think it's interesting, Brett. You know, Soren talked about the Europeans, and I think they're definitely at the forefront of this, right? In the U.S., I think there's been some resistance to some of those pushes. We've seen multinationals faced with shareholder votes, pushing them, trying to push them to be more transparent. So far, there's been a lot of resistance to those votes. I think U.S. multinationals are willing to embark on this journey, but at a slower pace. We want to be very deliberate about it. It's how I say a lot of our clients are approaching this, making sure that they do this in a very thoughtful way.
Makes sense. And JD, you mentioned, you know, shareholders pushing U.S. multinationals for more transparency. Is that in general, or is that specifically on tax transparency?
Certainly, there's a push sustainability across the board, right? And when we think ESG, Brett, I would say I think a lot of our clients, when we go out and talk to them and you talk ESG, it's not readily evident why tax is a part of that conversation. There's no T in ESG. Nevertheless, tax is a big part of it. It actually fits into the E, the S, and the G. What we're talking about here, transparency and talking about public policy and a control framework, certainly that's the G aspect of it. And that's where we're focused here. So I think there is a focus on tax. And I think, you know, when we are talking to our clients in the tax department, that's obviously where their head is at. But it ties in with everything else, right? It's just about being good corporate citizens on some level. And like Soren said, it's about restoring public trust. And so when some of them are coming at it broader, they're introducing broad shareholder resolutions that they hope will shine a light on various aspects of the company, tax being one of them, but also environmental or what they're paying their employees, things like that. But we've also seen very targeted shareholder proposals to shine a light on the taxes that a company pays across the globe. And again, you know, a lot of this is about making sure that multinationals pay their fair share, whatever that means to you. Brett, you know this as well as I do. We could probably have an entire podcast series on what fair means.
That's for sure.
But regardless of what that means, you know, investors on some level are trying to gauge risk, right? They're worried about government audits. They're worried about profit shifting. They don't want the bad press that comes along with your company being on the front page of the newspaper for having done something or having just perceived to have done something that's wrong, right? It's really hard to come back from that.
Yeah, great point. And it is interesting how quickly this has moved in the U.S., closing the gap with what's happening in Europe. So you kind of walk through what tax transparency means in general, but are there specific rules that define what companies should be doing in the transparency space here? I mean, who defines what good looks like?
Yeah, and I think that is really a challenge for especially for many of the companies that I speak with is the, you know, to navigate in a landscape where there is increasingly many reporting standards. So the voluntary reporting part is really becoming more complex because you need to understand the difference between different reporting standards, some more principle-based reportings, and then also stakeholder preferences.
Thanks, Soren. That's really helpful. And it sounds like with all the various standards out there, it's not all that easy to figure out a company's approach. And I can see where you're obviously spending a lot of time with companies to help them figure out, what is the right approach with all the various standards out there. JD, I'd like to turn to you. I mean, Soren mentioned we have all these standards. Much of it, I think, is viewed as voluntary. I think there's concern that the future may not be a world where all of this is voluntary. Maybe you could weigh in with, what you are seeing in terms of the actions that regulators and governments and other stakeholders are taking that may, accelerate companies' journeys into tax transparency, particularly the U.S. companies that you're working with. Could you address that point?
Yeah, definitely. So I think right now, Brett, candidly, a lot of this is voluntary. If you're in the extractive industry or the banking industry, they face some form of country-by-country reporting, publishing their tax data and the numbers, at least in a limited fashion, for the last several years. But outside of those two industries, it really has been voluntary. There's a big push now to make country-by-country reporting, again, reporting your tax numbers, more worldwide, more uniform, not just limited to specific sectors or industries. At the end of 2021, the debate shifted from should we make this data public to how much of this data should we make public? So they decided that indeed, there should be some data that the public gets their hands on. And so the EU actually adopted public country-by-country reporting. And it's limited in that it only makes you publish country-by-country data for a subset of your overall global group, mainly to the extent you're operating in Europe and a few other exceptions. But it doesn't make you publish worldwide results. It'll be interesting to see how that evolves. We've certainly seen other countries, non-EU countries, look at this, the Australians, the Canadians. They've all taken a look at this and said, hey, we think public country-by-country reporting should be mandatory. The ATO, I think, was just given the green light to write those rules earlier this year. UK, the United Kingdom, the Parliament has already given Treasury the ability to write those rules. And I think we'll see some action there in the near future. And a lot of folks say, okay, well, that's Europe. But look, we've also seen some movement here in the U.S.
Well, actually, JD, before you go to movement on the U.S., question all this that's happening outside the U.S., does that mean that all these rules you just walked through, that U.S. multinationals can sit them out?
Oh, great question, Brett. No, that's the short answer, is no, you can't sit them out. To the extent you're operating in those jurisdictions, you're likely going to be caught by these rules. Does that mean they're going to have to publish everything? Maybe not, but they're going to have to publish, at the very minimum, a subset of their country-by-country data.
Gotcha. Okay. That's really helpful. All right. Well, let's jump back in. What do you see happening in the U.S.?
Well, there's a couple of things going on right now that are pretty interesting. So the debate in the U.S. has been going on for a long time, actually. First, there's a bill called the Disclosure of Tax Savings Offshoring Act, which has been floating around Congress for quite a while now. That bill, if it passed, would require public U.S. registrants to publish their Action 13 style C-by-C along with their annual report. Now, that bill passed in the U.S. House of Representatives. It still has not passed the Senate, and the likelihood of it passing in the Senate anytime soon is probably somewhat remote. But separately, at the same time, the Financial Accounting Standards Board, or FASB, has also been looking at country-by-country reporting. Now, it's unlikely that they would do anything as detailed as an Action 13-style report, or I should say that they would require anything as detailed as an Action 13-style report, or even an EU public C-by-C report. But they are looking at having SEC registrants disaggregate their tax expense, so providing some level of detail as to what taxes companies are paying around the globe. And just recently, the SEC signaled its support for this measure. So over the next few months, we'll probably get a little more clarity as to exactly what companies are doing. But in all likelihood, FASB will make changes that will require companies publish some tax data going forward.
Yeah, that's interesting, and some fascinating prognostication there, right? But I think you've at least made the case of the direction of travel, not only globally, but in the U.S. Soren, let's come to you just to close this one off. Anything else that's, top of mind in this space in terms of regulatory and other action in Europe that JD did not cover?
Well, JD was quite comprehensive, but I think we've already back in 2016, where the UK introduced this mandatory publication of tax strategies, which really pushed this agenda to more or less globally to every multinational who had the lemonade shop in the UK had to disclose a UK tax strategy. I think that really fueled the whole agenda. And back then, I remember seeing some of the UK politicians stating that the reason why we are pushing for transparency is that we believe that the more transparent you are, the more likely you will be to act responsible. So that's the whole perception, and also the perception that has then crossed to the whole public C2C dialogue. And the most recent thing, which is a very, very hot topic in the European market, is the non-financial reporting directive and the updates that are coming under this corporate sustainability reporting directive, which extends the scope and reporting requirements of the already existing directive, and will actually result in the fact that now we have maybe 10,000 entities across Europe that are reporting under the setup, but it will be more than 50,000 very soon.
Well, thanks, Soren. I think both you and JD have made a great case for what I think we've all viewed as a voluntary consideration that it does seem, as you put it, there's some tailwinds there that may be moving this out of the voluntary category and at least a good share of it into the mandatory category. So from your perspective, what should companies be doing, right now? I mean, how do they get in front of this?
Yeah, it's a great question, Brett. So one, I think, is let's look at the timeline and start plotting out your journey. Most U.S. multinationals, again, who have a foot in Europe, are going to have to do some level of country-by-country reporting. That deadline right now, as things stand, if we're talking a calendar year company, they're going to have to report calendar 2025 numbers in 2026. And you say that, and it's 2022 right now, and you think I've got, 3-4 years to worry about this. I don't think that's right. You need to think about where you are right now. Produce a European style, an EU style country by country report. There's a lot of stakeholders involved here. And if you haven't start having those conversations, how do we feel about our approach to tax transparency? Are we doing the minimum? Are we going to go beyond the minimum? And if we are going beyond, what's our timeline? Are we going to do something in 2022, 2023? That's what our clients are thinking about right now. It's trying to figure out what their position is and what their timeline is. And no one's going to decide, I'm going to go full bore country by country reporting. I'm going to report every tax number and just drop those numbers tomorrow. They're going to do it in stages. And so I think you have to plot that out. You're putting things out on your website. How is the public going to react to that? If you've got a 10K or other regulated documents out there, how does what you're saying in your tax ESG report mesh with those other statements? Think about your other stakeholders, right? Your suppliers, your customers, your employees. All of that has to be taken into consideration so you can really plot out your journey. And then no matter what you've decided, this all comes back to data. You've got to get a handle on the data. And that's going to be a lot of work, right? Data itself, there's a spectrum, right? It's going to take a lot of data. And you need to start that now. Again, you need to figure out what your position is. But once you've done that, how are you going to do that report? How are you going to go about producing those reports? And it all comes back to the data. How good are your systems? How many systems do you have to worry about? Do you have to start calling people in Europe to get a handle on some of these numbers, or can you do it all here centrally? No client is going to approach this the exact same. Again, it's a spectrum, but we need to start asking and answering those questions now.
So JD, just let me add that under the global KPMG impact reporting structure, we have also developed, as you know, the tax footprint analyzer, which basically will and can replace the manual processes of the data collection and the verification and basically enable the data to be efficiently categorized, cleansed and analyzed for tax transparency reporting purposes.
You know, you've obviously helped a number of companies through that journey. I mean, at the end of the day, how's it turned out? I mean, are they glad they did it? What was their experiences, both positive and negative?
I've been involved in quite a number of dialogues and projects with companies that were, as rightly as JD was saying, starting from scratch, looking at what their peers were doing, taking a stance of where do we want to be short term, longer term, what are our stakeholders telling us, and then starting from there. And now since many of the Danish multinationals are quite advanced, of course, once you get details out there on your approach to tax, once you get numbers out there on your global tax payments, you're bound to get a reaction. And I would say, at least in what I've heard from both the investor side and the multinationals, is it's overall a positive feeling you get. I think it's appreciated from both sides or all sides that this is a difficult balancing act in terms of communicating it, communicating numbers in the right way, so it's easy to understand for someone who's not deeply into the whole specific company setup. What we have seen, and just one example that I want to show or explain to you is which I think clearly underpins the importance of creating the right narrative around the disclosure, is where we had a Danish multinational who came out with their quantitative report, so showing their country by country numbers, and they were scrutinized in the public by the investor community and some NGOs for hiding something. And you see the public, they of course need to understand what is being disclosed, but most of all they need to clearly understand what is not being disclosed. And I think that what was happened here, where I think the public expected a full country by country tax report under GRI 207, which mandates you to disclose country by country in every country around the world, but the company only disclosed the more limited scope from the EU directive, which only requires you to publish country by country in Europe, and then the rest of the world can more or less be included as a lump sum, except for what is called blacklist or greylist countries. So there were some, I think, misalignment in terms of what the stakeholders asked for and what they received. Again, it stresses the importance, as JD was also alluding to, that the narrative when you push details out is so important. I think that's so, but still overall, I think the impression is positive from stakeholders and also from the companies.
The other point to make here, Brett and Soren, as we're talking about this, is we are going through, we're collecting a lot of data. I think it's worthwhile thinking about other places that data is used. I don't think you want to collect this data in a vacuum. You don't want to approach a tax ESG contribution report in a vacuum either. There's a lot of other projects going on out there where folks are faced with having to gather a lot of data. And when you're collecting the data for one of those other initiatives, think about how you can roll your tax ESG into those initiatives as well, and vice versa. I think these initiatives all go hand in hand. And if you're going to go rummaging through data, don't do it, multiple times. Do it once and do it right.
JD, it's a great point. So on top of the country by country reporting directive that is already in place, as you mentioned, they are also working on another disclosure, which will be the globe ETRs country by country. So again, things are connected also on the disclosure part, but definitely I agree also on the data part.
Thanks, Soren and JD. Really enlightening discussion. Appreciate you being with us today and sharing your expertise and insights. And for our audience, please join me next time on our Tax ESG podcast series, where we'll do a deep dive into the double-edged sword of tax. We'll focus on tax incentives, credits, and carbon taxes. If you have any questions in the meantime, please feel free to send me an email. That's Brett Weaver, and my email address is baweaver@kpmg.com. Also, please check out our KPMG Impact webpage at visit.kpmg.us/impact and sign up for our ESG alerts to get the latest insights on ESG. Thank you for joining us today, and have a great day.